You're all chanting Hare Krishna enthusiastically, so there's no need of any class. That's the perfection of all upadesha. It's just to chant Hare Krishna. So you're already doing it. So there's no need. But anyway, we'll have a class because we like to discuss what the acharyas have given us, the nectar of Krishna Katha, and I also need to be purified. So I will read from Mukundamala Stotra, which is very famous, or at least used to be famous in the days when India was a more spiritual country. Especially here in South India, Mukundamala. What's not so well known is that Srila Prabhupada also commented on Mukundamala Stotra. Even our ISKCON devotees, many don't know about this. We know Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is very famous. Srimad Bhagavatam is very famous. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada's rendition of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there are many other books, but it's not so well known that Prabhupada commented on Mukundamala Stotra. He only did so partially. He commented on a few verses and then he went on and did something else. One verse from Mukundamala that Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Adyaiva Me Vishatu. What is it? Go. Manasaraja Hamsa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapavata Pittai Kantava Rodana Vidho Swaranam Kutaste. That's one verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted and sang. So today, well, actually just 2 days ago in Kanchipura, I just happened to notice one of the devotees who was with us had a copy of this, maybe Gita Press copy or something like this. And it just reminded me that, oh, that's some nectar I haven't been drinking recently. Although the first verse is a prayer, Kulashekhar is saying, Alapinam Pratidinam, that may I daily recite your names in this way. So that's also recommended in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that devotees should select some prayers to chant. Prabhupada suggested those of Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sanghita, and there are many prayers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and many, many, many prayers have been composed by devotees because it's the natural function of devotees to glorify Krishna. So there are many like this, Stotaratnam, Navadipa Shatakam, Chaitanya Chandramrita. This is very famous, and this we find, even though it's from a different sampradaya to the Gaudiya sampradaya, that everything is fully in accord with the teachings of the Gaudiya acharyas. Only one slight difference may be there, that there's little more emphasis on Narayana, although he also again and again says Krishna. But then again, there is no difference between Narayana and Krishna. Well, there are four differences. That means Prema Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, then Rupa Madhuri, and what's the other one? Leela Madhuri. Krishna has four special sweetnesses which are not found even in Narayana. That he's surrounded by exceptional devotees. His pastimes are very extraordinary. His form is even sweeter than that of Narayan, even though he is Narayan. And he also has this flute thing, which Narayan doesn't have. So, anyway, let's read this, that Srila Prabhupada, the first few verses of Mukunda Mala, he translated and gave quite an extensive commentary on each of the verses. So the first verse is as follows. Srivallabheti varadeti dayapareti bhakta priyeti bhavaluntana kovideti natheti naga shayaneti jagannivaseti alapinam pratidinam kuru mang Mukunda. O Mukunda, my Lord, please let me become a constant reciter of your names, addressing you as Sri Vallabh, he who is very dear to Lakshmi, Varada, the bestower of benedictions, Dayapara, he who is causelessly merciful, Bhaktapriya, he who is very dear to his devotees, Bhavaluntana Kovida, he who is expert at plundering the status quo of repeated birth and death, Nata, the Supreme Lord, Jagannivasa, the resort of the cosmos, and Nagashayana, the Lord who lies down on the serpent bed. Purport, a devotee of Godhead is he who glorifies the personality of Godhead under the dictation of transcendental ecstasy. So that's one. So there may be many the word devotee could be translated or could be defined in various ways. But herein, or the basic translation, or that sometimes Prabhupada quoted that, a dictionary definition is Vishnu asya devata iti Vaishnava. One who accepts Vishnu as his object of worship is a Vaishnava. So that's a very basic definition. Here Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee of Godhead is he who glorifies the personality of Godhead under the dictation of transcendental ecstasy. So this doesn't refer to everyone who worships Vishnu. Because not everyone who worships Vishnu is, as Srila Prabhupada writes here, under the dictation of transcendental ecstasy. Not everyone. The platform of bhav, that is an exalted level. Most devotees are on the. There are three stages in bhakti. That is the sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So, in Srila Prabhupada's books, we find the word devotee used, but we have to understand exactly according to the context. Because sometimes Prabhupada is referring to pure devotees. For instance, Srila Prabhupada might write that devotees are beyond the influence of the modes of nature. And you think, well, I'm a devotee, so I'm beyond the modes of nature. But it's very dangerous to think like that. For a start, if one thinks, I am a devotee, whoever thinks like that is not a devotee. As Maharaj Kulashekar will express later on, he wants to be the devotee of 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 the devotee. Seven times. Six times he used the word bhritya and paricharaka, which means more or less the same thing. So, one who considers himself the devotee of the devotee, he is a devotee. And those who are actual devotees, means that this kind of glorification of the Lord, Srivallabheti, Varadeti, Dayapareti, this naturally the names of Krishna come to his tongue. He's not interested in discussing mundane topics. Although he may do in a Krishna conscious way. Now you may wonder, well, how can you discuss mundane topics in a Krishna conscious way? Well, it's a matter of seeing the world through the eyes of Shastra. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he would talk about all kinds of things which ordinary people talk about. Just like inflation, that's something people talk about, isn't it? I'm earning money, and every day what I'm earning, it's worth less. He would talk about pollution. He would talk about the different wars that are going on around the world. But he would talk about it in such a way that we, those who are listening to him, would understand these topics from the Krishna conscious point of view. Ordinary people talking about it and Srila Prabhupada talking about it, the perspective is quite different. But the end or the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's thus discussing is so that we will give up our attraction or become free from the attraction for mundane topics and see everything in this world as useless and become attached to Krishna. That's why I was saying, you're all chanting Hare Krishna enthusiastically. So that's the purpose of all the discussions, if we can chant the holy names of Krishna with enthusiasm. Of course, the problem is that we chant enthusiastically, but then we again may go back to discussing mundane topics. So we need, the hearing is required. But this is a very, hearing of the need to glorify Krishna is required. So this is a definition of a devotee. There may be many definitions. The one who glorifies, it's a natural function of a devotee to glorify Krishna. We don't have to ask, just like the pure devotees of Krishna, we don't have to go up to them and say, did you chant your rounds today? Vanshidas Babaji Maharaj, maybe you heard the name. He was a great devotee. He never chanted any rounds. You may say, well, he was in Maya. If you think he was in Maya, you're in Maya. Because it's just like the gopis. They didn't, they didn't get up and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. They weren't doing their rounds. But they were fully absorbed in love of Krishna. Of course, when they came as the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then they were doing Sankhya Purvaka Namagana. Then they were chanting fixed numbers of rounds. But, Vakshidas Babaji Maharaj is an example, but he's not an example to be followed by sadhakas. But he was fully absorbed in the bhav of loving Krishna. And he would talk to Krishna all the time. That's also something not to be imitated. But he would regularly call out, simply out of his bhav, Bhakta Vatsala Hari, Gopijanda Vallabha Hari, like this. So it's a natural function of the purified soul to glorify Krishna. And as long as we're not on that platform, we should do so in a regulated manner. We should accept some vow to do so. To chant at least 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra, and so on. So Srila Prabhupada's purport continued. This ecstasy is a byproduct of profound love for the Supreme, which is itself attained by the process of glorification. You see that? That by the process of glorification, kirtan, what happens? There's a process. You have to accept a process. Process means a system. So we have to get trained to glorify Krishna And the result of doing that is that profound love for the Supreme will arise. And then one will glorify Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what does this chanting lead to? And Srila Prabhupada replied, more chanting. It's not a means to an end. It is both the means and the end. It's not that we do chanting, and then when we do chanting, we realize, I am God, so now everyone should chant my name instead. That's, some people think like that. Some people think that we do bhakti, and then when you become advanced, you stop doing bhakti. And then you just realize that you are God. This is both nonsense and rascal. It's not bhakti at all. They have the idea that you climb, it's just like when you climb up a ladder, then you don't need it, then you kick it away. But this is not actually the process of bhakti. So we should be very careful. It's not that everyone who is chanting Hare Krishna is actually a devotee. It's just like Putana, she came to Krishna, she looked like a very great devotee, but she had a different motive altogether. So people who think, I will chant Hare Krishna and then I will become God, they're not devotees at all. So that's another reason we have to hear, to distinguish between what is actual bhakti and who are actual bhaktas, and those who are simply making a show of it with some ulterior motive. But actual kirtan, actual glorification of the Supreme Lord, it leads to purification of the heart, it leads to pure love of Krishna, in which kirtan flows automatically. I was just discussing how Srila Prabhupada would often discuss history. He would quite often discuss history, historical topics, and like this, current affairs. But his doing so was always in the light of Krishna consciousness. So that is also kirtan. Srila Prabhupada was constantly glorifying Krishna. So we may do so, and it's better that we do so anukirtanam. Harinam anukirtanam. That's stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. We should follow the path given by the previous acharyas who have taught us how to pray in a way that will actually be pleasing to Krishna. And therefore, these prayers, like Mukunda Mala, they are very helpful for our sadhana. It's also very helpful because we might sometimes get too much, just like in our preaching, we may discuss with people about, you know, current affairs, and we may discuss with people, so many people come, they have their family problems, everyone has, you know, family problems, or medical problems, or legal problems, or social problems, or psychological problems, and so many adjectives with the word problems. There's no end of varieties of problems. Ashesha, klesha, nishesha. Unlimited varieties of problems. So if we simply, even if we discuss in a Krishna conscious way or according to the perspective given by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, we may just get just like too much absorbed in that and forget that ultimately the goal is not to discuss all these topics within the three modes of nature, but to go beyond them to Krishna in the spiritual world. Now we find in Bhagavad Gita that actually Lord Krishna does discuss a lot about this material world, and in fact a lot of the topics discussed in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna repeatedly discusses about the three modes of nature and their effects. It's discussing about this world. But the whole point is mamchayogyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. The whole point is to see it, understand it, understand that it's all useless, and fully engage in Krishna's service and go beyond that to the spiritual existence. So there may be some danger of just getting involved at the lower level, but ultimately we have to go. Sagunan samatityaita. So where are we going? What are we doing this all for? So the whole point is to glorify Krishna. So that we require to do also. Everything should be balanced. That's why there's kirtan, singing the names of Krishna. There should also be discussion of this philosophy. Otherwise we may be chanting Hare Krishna and have so many funny ideas, and then the chanting doesn't actually reach Krishna. If we misunderstand who is Krishna, as is very common, then our chanting won't actually go to Krishna. Because if we have formed we're chanting Hare Krishna, but our understanding of Krishna is based on something we got from some completely bogus person who's actually envious of Krishna, which is quite common in modern Hinduism, because most of the people who talk about so-called Hinduism are actually envious of Krishna. Or if we got our understanding of Krishna from the TV Mahabharata show, or from Amarachitra Katha, then we may be chanting Krishna, but the Krishna who is glorified by Kulashekhar, and the Krishna who is glorified by Prabhupada and by Rupa Goswami and by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's not that Krishna, it's some imaginary Krishna that they've imagined. They don't know who is Krishna. So we don't know how to pray to Krishna. Oh Krishna, cure my backache. It's not very inspiring for Krishna. And we can imagine the Lord is standing there, Tirupati, Balaji, very merciful, so many people are coming. He's very merciful. I know myself, if so many people came to me, and I get upset if even one person comes to me and asks, give me a blessing for passing my examination. And you know, thousands of people come to him every day, especially at the exam season. So he's very merciful. Just people are asking, you know, give me a blessing so my hatchery business can go well. They're doing. They have, you know, Saptagiri poultry farms, and all this, it's there. It's very common. So he's merciful, but at the same time, we're not going to get the full mercy of Krishna if we're asking for his blessings to open a poultry farm. Or even if we're asking for blessings to open a dairy farm. But we'll get his full blessings when we pray as the great acharyas do, as Kunti Rani does, as Shukadev Goswami does, as Kulashekhar Alva does, as Prabhupada does. So we should learn to pray as they pray. And pray like this, calling out the names. There's so many names of Krishna have been given in this Mukunda Mala, so many beautiful names. And actually there are unlimited names of Krishna, because he has unlimited forms, qualities, pastimes and devotees. And there are many words in Sanskrit, just like we can say Lakshmipati, Lakshminath, and then Lakshmisha. So like this, and then we can say Abhai Charan Aravinda, Padmanabha, Padmanetra, and just Padmanetra, Padmaksha, Padmanayana. So like this, in various ways, the names can be formed. So there are unlimited names, and we can call out these various names. Of course, it's not much recommended for us to invent some names, but The Lord has many famous names. Some famous names are being mentioned in this verse. Sri Vallabha. It's a well-known name. It's a fairly common name. Vallabh is a common name among nowadays, of course, what kind of names they're giving. But Vallabh is at least previously was a very common name, and then Sri Vallabh also. One of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see in the list of his followers, one was called Sri Vallabha. Then Varada, that's a common name, well-known name. I think here in Andhra Pradesh, it's quite a common name, isn't it? What is it? Varadalu, something like that. They call it like that. That's the Telugu version. Floods. So, Varadaraja, that famous temple is there. We were just there 2 days ago. We discuss, on his hand is written Mahashuchaha. So this is his best varam, his best boon. Though most people, they ask for anxiety. Give me money. They're asking, give me anxiety. He's saying, don't worry, surrender to me and don't worry. And they say, I won't surrender to you, give me something more to worry about. Give me more money, something more to worry about. They don't get the point. So these are common names of the Lord, and we should chant the names. We'll find herein also, in one of the verses, Govinda Damodar Madhavati. So there's another famous stotra by Bilba Mangal Thakur. So like this, reading this, because they are composed under the dictation of transcendental ecstasy, then by reciting such stotras, then by the mercy of the devotees who have composed these prayers, some measure of that transcendental ecstasy will also fall upon us. Bhakti is, after all, the nature of the soul, and it is by nature blissful. So if we take to bhakti, then we become happy, which is why we're all here, actually. Why have you come here? Why should you come here? Because everyone is looking for happiness. And we find, at least you have found, that by coming to bhakti, we get a happiness that cannot be had in any other way. Isn't it? Otherwise, why should people come? Of course, some people come for the prasadam. Yeah, and in a mundane way, they think, well, it tastes good. Hey, I heard someone said, they're living close here, they're going to Abid's temple. I said, why do you go there? I said, well, the prasad's good there. They're beating you in that competition. You better do something. So for some people, you know, it's worth going all the way to Nampally rather than here, because according to their taste, they think that, you know, so I mean, it's not the best platform of bhakti, but it is a beginning. And generally people who come for the prasadam, they gradually come to realize that prasad is not only in the form of food. The real prasad is to surrender our life to Krishna. But that's a beginning. That if we think it's very nice, Namadaswami, maybe you've heard of him. He was from Nellore. He's passed away now. He was a sannyasi in ISKCON. And he told me that in his childhood, that's in my book, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life. In his childhood, he used to go to the temple to play. In Nellore, there's a big Ranganath temple. So he said, well, it was a good place for play. You know, it was a big courtyard. And naturally, we went in the temple and we used to bow down. We didn't know why. And especially, we liked the archaka would bring us some nice prasad. So he said, I didn't know anything, nothing about bhakti. But, you know, one thing, I really like that prasad. So he remembered that. I mean, he wasn't thinking about it all then. You know, he got... Then he got his education and he was a building contractor, you know, successful businessman. And then he became older, his children were grown up, and he thought, well, what am I going to do now? I think I'll join the Hare Krishna movement. So he did. And so that impression, every day going and getting darshan and taking prasad, that had some effect. Of course, it must be from previous lives also, because not everyone who goes to the temple and takes prasad becomes a Vaishnav sannyasi. But even if in this life one doesn't become completely perfect, any touch that we get of bhakti, even if it's just really from a practically mundane point of view, let me go to the temple and take some prasad because it tastes nice. But even that, you see, if you go, you'll have to show some respect to the devotees, and then, you know, you'll probably think, well, you know, I'm taking prasad, I should probably get some donation. And even if you don't think like that, the devotees will think like that, and they'll come and say, why don't you give a donation? And say, okay. And then you do, gradually you do more devotional service, and then you might start to appreciate, oh, the devotees are so beautifully dressed. And actually, that chanting of Hare Krishna, it sounds very nice, and maybe I'll sing along with it too. And then gradually, we become attracted to Krishna, because Krishna means attractive. So the very process of Krishna consciousness is attractive, and by taking to that, we gradually lose our attraction for this material world, and we become attracted to Krishna, and therefore we can take pleasure simply in chanting the names of Krishna, which is it's something which grossly materialistic people cannot even begin to understand. That you see, we're going making such elaborate arrangements, especially in the modern age, such elaborate arrangements for getting happiness, just like this. This has become quite popular, these water parks. Do they have it here? They have it everywhere. They should ban it here. There's not enough water in the taps. And they're making water parks. So the idea, you'll go down some chute and fall in some water. I don't know what else they do. But anyway, basically they make some big elaborate arrangement. And I'm sure if you go there, you'll find all families with the kids screaming and crying and, you know, they're not blissful. And you go there and you spend probably at least 500 rupees and buy some ice cream and then come back and that's it. But devotees, they don't need anything because they're in bliss just chanting the names of Krishna and remembering the pastimes of Krishna. But grossly materialistic people, they think that you have to make some big, huge arrangement, and then you can get some sense gratification, then you'll be happy. But devotees, they take pleasure in chanting the holy names of the Lord, Anukirtanam, Haran Nam Anukirtanam, by reading these stotras. We imbibe the ecstasy of the great devotees who are achieving or experiencing great happiness in chanting the names of Krishna. Just like I was saying about Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. So I heard about him from one devotee who had spent some time with him. This was in the 1980s and early 1990s. I used to sometimes visit one godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. who, when he was a young boy, was deputed as a servant of this Bhaktisiddhas Babaji Maharaj. So this was like in the 1940s, he was a servant. It was very difficult to be his servant because, you know, he wasn't really, Bhaktisiddhas Babaji Maharaj wasn't very conscious of the world around him, whether it was day or night or, you know, where they are or what they're doing. And he was just always absorbed in talking to Krishna. So, you know, they'd stop in one village and they'd all be camped out. And then all the devotees would wake up in the morning and Babaji Maharaj wasn't there because he'd gone. He didn't wait for the party or tell them he was going, or, you know, he'd just go, that's all. So it was difficult to be his servant. Anyway, this devotee, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu, he told me, and I wrote a book, but it's not something you can write in a book, how this Bhaktisiddhas Babaji Maharaj would chant. Very often he would start chanting and he'd go on and on and on. He'd chant, Bhakta Vatsala Hari Prana Ballava Hari. And he'd just go on like this, on and on. Different names of Krishna. And every time saying Hari, and he'd chant loudly and then gradually fade away and then another name like this. So this was his natural ecstasy in chanting the names of Krishna. As Prabhupada writes here, in this age of quarrel and fighting, the process of chanting and glorification recommended here by King Kulashekhar is the only way to attain perfection. Prabhupada's purport continued. It's quite a long purport. That's Prabhupada's ecstasy. Srila Prabhupada said, my purports are my transcendental ecstasies. So Bhaktisiddhas Babaji Maharaj, his transcendental ecstasy was expressed by calling out like that. And Srila Prabhupada's ecstasy was expressed by traveling all over the world, working hard to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, and especially by, of course, by chanting the holy names of Krishna in kirtan and inducing others to do so, and by writing these purports. That was Srila Prabhupada's ecstasy. And many devotees, followers of Srila Prabhupada, have found, or they've been imbued with that transcendental ecstasy from the spiritual platform by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. And we can't imagine, it doesn't seem to make sense. People think, well, spiritual life means to sit under a tree, or spiritual life means that you should put on some short Babaji's dress and chant lots of rounds. Well, that's one way to practice Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada gave one method of preaching in the modern age. You go door to door, you go in the buses and the trains or anywhere and try to distribute these books. And many devotees have found transcendental ecstasy in doing so, because this is not ordinary book selling. This is bringing people in contact with Krishna. So there's a very great taste in that. What do you think? Sridhar Srinivas Das Adhikari? What do you think? Book distribution? Any thoughts about that? You're experiencing great ecstasy in doing so? You find more happiness in that than in being a big, highly placed manager in a software company, earning lots of money, more money than most people could dream about? That's not the ecstasy of your life. The ecstasy is distributing Prabhupada's books, right? He loves to do that. So, that's one way of becoming ecstatic, is to distribute Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada continues, persons who are infected with the disease of material attachment, this is classic Prabhupada language, isn't it? When you read Prabhupada's books, and it's kind of, it's a typical language of Prabhupada. It's a unique style of writing. Of course, it's completely based on Shastra. The Shastra describes Bhavaroga, the disease of material life. Persons who are infected with the disease of material attachment and who suffer from the pangs of repeated birth and death cannot relish such recitations of the Lord's glories, just as a person suffering from jaundice cannot relish the taste of sugar candy. By nature, sugar candy is as sweet as anything, but to a patient suffering from jaundice, it tastes as bitter as anything. Who's had jaundice? Well, I've had hepatitis. It's almost the same thing. You've had jaundice? Mostly the Western devotees seem to get it. Well, imagine taking sugar candy and it tastes bitter. Isn't that strange? It's unnatural, isn't it? Well, that's the example given by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, that if we don't find the names of Krishna sweet, if we don't like to chant the names of Krishna, it's like someone suffering from jaundice who, when they taste sugar candy, it tastes bitter. That's completely wrong, isn't it? How can sugar be bitter? It's not bitter. But we are diseased. Yeah, everyone please turn their cell phones off and keep the bitter news of the material world out for the time being. So, what's going on in this material world is that people don't have a taste for the name of Krishna. So actually, everyone is diseased. The whole world, everyone is suffering from a spiritual disease that we don't find the names of Krishna sweet. We hear the name of Krishna and we don't feel any attraction. There's something wrong. But practically everyone in the world is suffering from this disease. But the cure for jaundice is to take sugar candy. And as you take it, what is that? Kintvada ramadinim kalusayiva jushtas. Take it, and then gradually, every day, that becomes sweet. It doesn't become sweet. The name of Krishna is sweet, but rather our imperfect perception of it being not sweet becomes rectified. And then when we chant the names, like Gaur, Govinda, so there are so many names of Krishna, then we become blissful just to hear those names. And we want to chant more and more. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada was praying that I would like to have thousands of tongues and thousands of ears to hear the name of Krishna, so we can measure that where are we at when we're thinking, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, how many more rounds I got to chant? There's a difference, isn't there, between desiring thousands of tongues and thousands of ears to relish the name of Krishna and thinking, you know, when can I get it over with so I can go to sleep? There's a difference. We can measure our advancement. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada wrote many books of very high pastimes, but when we get to the point of thinking that I would like thousands of tongues and thousands of ears to relish the name of Krishna, then we should go to the intimate books of Rupa Goswami. In the meantime, we can read the Upadeshamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, those books which are suitable for us. So, yes, please read this book. Traditionally here in South India, it would be a common thing. Just like Vishnu Sahasranama and Venkatesh Subrabhatam, these were very common. And previously, many others were very common also. This Mukunda Mala was very common. And Stotaratna, that was also well known. Now it's all forgotten and lost. But take it up, pick it up again. Please study these books. Reciting stotras is very, very helpful for our advancement. Prabhupada, he very much liked this Kunti's prayer from Bhagavatam. He liked to chant that. Gopi Gita is also, at least previously, well known. So, this is another one you can, time to time, you can chant, or daily. Brahma Samhita, of course, is one that Prabhupada recommended for us. Actually, these two that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought from South India when he came back to Puri, that means he visited so many temples and he must have heard it so many stotras recited. But two especially, he was very much appreciative of, and he had them copied and brought them back. And since that time, they've been disseminated within the Gaudiya Sampradaya. One is Sri Brahma Samhita, 5th chapter, which he got copied and taught, brought. And the other is the Sri Krishna Kanamrita. So, if we examine, one is, both of them are glorification of Krishna, but the Brahma Samhita, it's in a manner which actually summarizes all the philosophical understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that in a philosophical way glorifies Krishna. So that's glorification of Krishna from the platform of Tattva Vichara. And Krishna Kanamrita, that is full ecstasy of love of Krishna on the highest platform, which is, that's from the perspective of Rasa Vichara. So both are required, and Srimad Bhagavatam is replete with both of them. It's interesting that Prabhupada, he taught us Brahma Samhita, not so much Krishna Kanamrita, because one leads to the other automatically. We can't just force our way into the highest level of Krishna consciousness, but we should try to understand this philosophy as given by the Acharyas, as given by Srila Prabhupada, and that automatically, that will, if we follow seriously, will bring us to the higher platform. But it is, as Prabhupada himself has recommended, very useful to our spiritual advancement to chant such prayers as Mukunda Mala. So I hope you have plenty in stock, because hopefully those of you who don't have this book in your home may be inspired by this little talk about it, and you can also get a copy for your home and recite, like I say, from time to time, if not daily, these prayers. So, Hare Krishna, is there any question, please? Yes.
So, basically, there is a trend in general class, discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita.
There is a trend to discuss Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a general public class.
Where, when, why, who, what? You mean you've noticed within our ISKCON society it's quite common?
Yeah, so my question, when Tattva and Rasa Vichar, Hare Krishna, Tattva and Rasa Vichar.
Yeah.
As per Srila Prabhupada's kind of presentation.
Yeah.
It's not meant for even like general devotees.
What's that? Chaitanya Charitamrita?
I mean just the class or in a public forum or the whole...
I'm sorry, what's the question?
Question is, how proper is it to present Chaitanya Charitamrita?
How proper is it to present Chaitanya Charitamrita?
And Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes.
Lord Chaitanya's
in general,
pastimes.
In a general class.
Well, we see that Srila Prabhupada's classes were... I was going to say almost always, but I'm just trying to think of some exception, and I can't really think of any. I think always with a philosophical. Even on festival days like Radhashtami, he would present the topic in a philosophical manner. In fact, on one Radhashtami day, the whole lecture Prabhupada just presented philosophy, not directly touching Radharani, and just at the end he said, well, today is Radhashtami, and we can pray for Radharani's blessings, and that's all. So Srila Prabhupada, he was definitely very philosophical in his presentation. There should be some scope for acquainting people with the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but maybe in a different, maybe not in our regular Bhagavatam classes, or maybe some special program like a 5-day lecture series or something like that. I mean, definitely we want people to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to be attracted to that. But at the same time, we should take note of Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's unfailing manner of presentation. And like I said, I was trying to think of some exception where Prabhupada just told stories of leelas. At least among all the recorded lectures that we have, which I've either read or listened to all of them, I can't think of any exception to that. I don't think there is. No. Of course, he did, in the early days, he was speaking on Chaitanya Charitamrita and describing Sanatana Goswami, how he was locked up and he was getting escaped, he was escaping. But again, he was telling it and giving, I mean, most of it was of giving the philosophical understanding. Chaitanya Charitamrita, I mean, Srila Prabhupada, the first... Well, before releasing Chaitanya Charitamrita, he released his book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which is a summary of all the philosophical discussions in there. Not only philosophical, also the talks between Ramananda Rai. It's also philosophical, but it's the Ramananda talks with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It goes up into the levels of the highest ecstasy of love for Krishna. And then when Prabhupada, when he translated the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he started off with the 7th chapter of the Adi Lila, which is intensely philosophical. And that was the first book he released, in one chapter called Lord Chaitanya in 5 Features. And I remember we were distributing this in London, you know, it's like very complex refutation of Mayavada and all these verses, how the Krishna consciousness room will inundate the whole world. And we're just distributing this, you know, to bus drivers and businessmen in central London. Interesting. Yeah. So there should be some... We see in the... In traditional Vaishnav culture, there was a lot of discussion of pastimes. But then, maybe because there wasn't enough emphasis on philosophical understanding, the whole thing got out of, you know, became sahajya. And so it is necessary to keep the philosophy there. But yeah, we also have to know who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, what he came to teach. For that reason, I made a small book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that people could our own devotees and the public could be attracted to him and know about him, because most people don't, outside of Bengal, Orissa and Vrindavan, most people in India, they don't know much about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at all. So that small book was supposed to be at least some, giving some idea. And one devotee who was managing the bookshop in our temple in London some years ago, she told me that many devotees used to buy that, like already initiated devotees, because they thought, well, I don't have time to read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, let me just read this. So they'd read that and they'd come back after a week and say, give me the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because they're thinking, well, maybe you get a little taste and you want to know more. So, yeah. Gora Prima Rashanave Ji Tarange Jibar Dube Se Radha Madhava Antaranga. That's the, those who dive and swim in the waves of the ocean of Gora Prema Ras, they become an intimate associate of Radha and Madhava. So yeah, I let there be Gaur Katha, but our regular classes, they should be, I would say, following Prabhupada's footsteps, philosophical. I hope I didn't go outside those parameters in today's class. It was more on Prayojan Tattva, the ecstasy of the devotees. But it was reading from Prabhupada's writings. It's interesting also how Prabhupada in his purport, although he starts off by talking about the transcendental ecstasy, but then he goes on to discuss those who are a long way from that ecstasy and the process to come to that ecstasy. Prabhupada was always practical in his presentation. So everyone please read Mukunda Mala and all these beautiful prayers and be blessed by Prabhupada and all the acharyas who are experiencing that ecstasy and by coming in contact with their transcendental sounds, by their kirtan, then the ocean of nectar which is flowing from their tongue, some drops of those ecstasy may sprinkle on us and bring our desert-like existence. In our desert-like heart, some drops of nectar can turn the desert into fertile land. What will you do in the desert? What are you going to grow in the desert? But if there's some nectar is sprinkled there, it can transform it. So the nectar of Krishna consciousness transforms the desert of this material world to Vaikuntha. And the nectar of the devotees' kirtan, their glorification of Krishna, can transform our desert-like heart into a beautiful garden fit to call Krishna, that you please come here and dance here. We want to in Krishna is in our heart, he's there as Paramatma, just watching. What's this nonsense fellow doing? But if we want to invite Krishna into our heart, well, Krishna, he lives in, he's Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. So he's not going to come to some desert full of thorns, of envy and material lust and all these things. So our heart has to be transformed into a beautiful garden where Krishna will like to come and dance with his gopi. So we need some nectar, some transformation. That nectar is the nectar that is distributed by the great devotees. Hare Krishna. You're going to have a philosophical question? from the land of the land of the philosophers. Is it? I heard that. Anyway, you're not Greek. You're a devotee now. But I heard the Greek people even now are very philosophical. Is it true?
Yes,
all right.
Number of questions.
I'll probably make the answers brief then. Are they related with the class by any chance? Okay, fire away. We don't have any extension mic that works. Did I ever see Krishna's physical appearance?
Did you see Krishna's hand in your life?
Hand in my life. Well, I think we've all seen Krishna's hand in our life, isn't it? Or otherwise we wouldn't be here. Just like I was saying, Namadaswami. He came to bhakti. That's by Krishna arranged. Definitely. Definitely we're all seeing it. We don't come to Krishna consciousness by chance. Have I seen Krishna directly? Well, according to what the impression received on my retina, yes. Everyone is seeing Krishna all the time. But the way to see Krishna is by hearing. Otherwise, we see in Bhagavatam, Daksha saw Krishna. Krishna personally appeared to him. But he remained a materialist. Because he didn't submit himself to the devotees to hear from them. So, seeing is by hearing, as stated in Bhagavatam. What is that? Shutekshitapata. Seeing, even our acharyas, they have not given so much importance to seeing as serving. There's a big, in my upcoming book on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's a big section on this, in which the question, impropriety of the question, have you seen Krishna, is discussed at length. How Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discussed, this is the wrong question. You asked the wrong question. Okay, any more wrong questions?
Krishna's body is spiritual.
What is spiritual? Spiritual means to serve Krishna without any personal desire. That is spiritual. Then, any other questions?
Is chanting important?
Oh, you got booted out there. Is chanting important?
There's
yes. Both are required. What do you take for breakfast? Idli and sambar? Sometimes, is it? Often. So, is it good to take idli? Yes. Is it good to take sambar? Yes. Would you like to eat idli, only idli, dry idli? Or what about only sambar with no idli? Both are needed. They complement each other. So, hearing and chanting are both required. They complement each other. Hearing is not perfect without chanting. And chanting is not perfect without hearing. Yes, please.
Sometimes when someone fails to chant the Krishna's name properly, or when someone is not able to serve Krishna properly, and then after some time one has again very much
I feel guilty because I'm not serving Krishna properly. That's very good. If you're crying actually that I'm not serving Krishna properly, those tears will be the price to pay for serving Krishna properly. That is good. If we're actually crying sincerely, how can I serve Krishna properly? Then that in itself will attract the mercy of Krishna that we can serve Him properly. But don't cry, and then when someone says, now you have to give up meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, tea, coffee, cinema, and surrender to Krishna, and say, well, no, I just cry.
But still, Maharaj, after having so much guilt, one is not able to keep up with all these
things. Then, you see, we're not going immediately. We have to go with the process. As Srila Prabhupada has used this word here, the process of chanting and glorification. We have to follow the process. Follow the process. Chant the holy names of Krishna, Maha Mantra, at least 16 rounds a day. Follow the regulated principles, associate with devotees. Follow this process, and perfection will come. Yes. So many questions. Yeah, then. Hindi mein puchi. Or ek jan kya karte? Ek jan miss nahi karte?
If he's not missing for a single day, chanting every day.
क्या बंद करना नहीं नहीं और ज्यादा चैंटिंग करो जो भी होते हैं और ज्यादा चैंटिंग करो ऐसा नहीं है कि वो असोच है इसलिए भक्ति बंद करना ऐसा नहीं है भक्ति है वो सब जीव का मूल धर्म है मूल स्वभाव है और भौतिक धर्म में ऐसे विचार है कि अशोच वस्त्र में कुछ शुभ कार्य नहीं करना वो भौतिक शुभ कार्य है लेकिन ये भक्ति वो जीव का क्या बोलते हैं वो मूल धर्म है वो कभी भी बंद नहीं अशोच में क्या वो खाना बंद करते क्या तो जैसे यो शरीर की पुष्टिका करने के लिए खाना लेना है नहीं तो उस प्रकार आध्यात्मिक बल रखने के आध्यात्मिक पुष्टिका के लिए वो हरि नाम लेना चाहिए और जैसे श्वास उब तो मेरा एक कुटुंब मर गया है इसलिए वो सब शुभ कार्य बंद करूंगा और श्वास भी बंद करूंगा तो फिर वो ऐसे पूरा जगह तो एक दो दिन में सब मर जाए तो और भक्ति में एक नियम है कि हर श्वास के साथ भगवान का नाम उच्चारण करना चाहिए तो भक्ति धर्म तो कभी भी बंद नहीं होते और क्या है खाना लेना है तो वो भक्त भक्तजन तो खाली कृष्ण प्रसाद लेते हैं और वो भोग अर्पण करना वो अर्चन की एक विधि है तो स्मार्ट विचार में अर्चन बंद करना है असोच में तो अगर हम बंद करते हैं तो हम प्रसाद नहीं लेंगे तो अर्चन वो भी चलेगा तो ये की और भक्ति और अर्चन ये सब बंद करने ये स्मार्ट विचार है वैष्णव विचार नहीं है अगर हमारा एक कुटुंब एक्चुअली अगर वैष्णव है हम मार जाते हैं हम ऐसा नहीं बोलते उच्चरो भाव बोलते तो वो शोक का हेतु नहीं है कि एक वैष्णव तो भगवान के धाम वापस गए है, बहुत अच्छी बात है। हमारा शोक होते इसलिए कि इस जीवन में वो वैष्णव का संग हम और नहीं मिलेंगे, इसलिए शोक होते। वो सही है और क्या है, आत्मा भगवान की सृष्टि है, आत्मा सनातन है, भगवान भी सनातन है। तो फिर भी हम बोलते हैं कि आत्मा भगवान से आते हैं। तो एक उदाहरण है, सूर्य और वो सब किरण, सूर्य का किरण में वो सब कण जो है तो सूर्य से आते हैं, तो सूर्य सनातन जैसे है और सूर्य की रश्मि वो भी सनातन है, तो फिर भी वो रश्मि तो सूर्य मंडल से आते हैं। तो इस प्रकार जीव सनातन है, भगवान सनातन है, तो फिर भी वो आत्मा भगवान से आते हैं। यस प्लीज। फर्स्ट संख्य योग, yes, there's so many yogas discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakti yoga is discussed after the others. Yes, bhakti yoga is the highest, that's what Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita. That's true. What is this good point of discussing all these things? Well, the point of discussing it is that not everyone, you see, not everyone has full faith in Krishna. That's easy to understand, isn't it? And Arjuna, he had many doubts. So he asked Krishna to dispel those doubts. Now, Krishna could have told Arjuna, look, shut up, you stupid rascal. I'm God and just do what I say. And he could have done that, but Arjuna wouldn't be convinced. And to quote from a famous English poet, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So Krishna wasn't giving some dogmatic religion that you just do what I say or I'll burn you in hell forever. But he was convincing Arjuna on the platform of intelligence that there are various paths that can be followed, but the path of ultimate benefit for every jiva is that of bhakti. Now he couldn't have convinced that if he hadn't discussed the other paths and what are the effects of following them. Therefore he did. And he didn't just say that bhakti is superior, but he showed that it's superior by saying that, for instance, by following karma yoga, what do you get? Tetam bhuktva swarga lokam vishalam shine punye martya lokam vishanti evam chai dharma manu prapada gata gatam kama kama labhante. You just get, you know, a bus ride up and down. You go up to the water park and you come back again. So it's useless. And then jnana, what's the use of that? Klesho dikataraste sham avyakta sakta shetasam. So he shows, he doesn't just, Krishna isn't a dogmatic preacher who just rams it down your throat, but he appeals to the intelligence. Because we have to choose to serve Krishna. That means making an intelligent decision. An intelligent decision can be based on knowledge. You see, even someone who's very intelligent, they may be very intelligent, but to choose, to make a choice, just like if you have to choose between two candidates in an election, you can't choose just based on what their faces look like. Well, I think I'll vote for this one because he's more good looking than that one. But you have to know what are the issues, and then what are the stands that the different people take on them. Which is why democracy is actually useless, because ruling is far more, the issues are far more complex than most people can even begin to understand, and most people are not qualified at all to vote, because they can't understand the issues that they're voting for. Even supposing that the politicians intended to carry out the programs which they say they're going to, which everyone knows they're not going to anyway, so what's the point of voting anyway? Because you know they're lying. So anyway, the point is that we may be intelligent, but we have to have knowledge of the issues, and then we can make an intelligent decision. So to give Arjuna knowledge of the issues at stake, Krishna presented the situation and said, okay, here it is. I presented how bhakti is superior, but if you're still a fool, you can choose somebody else if you want. It's ultimately you have to choose. Yes, we've got lots of questions here. Nothing to do with the class. In your Bhagavatam. Is that different from anyone else's Bhagavatam? I mean, they do have in Orissa. Are you from Orissa? They have the Oriya Bhagavatam, which has got more cantos than Vyasadeva's Bhagavatam. Yeah. That's right. It is said that. Why there are other philosophies if it's stated Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam? Well, there are different reasons. Not everyone accepts the Bhagavatam as the highest pramana, which is why Jiva Goswami, who has systematically established the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Bhagavat Sandarbha, begins with the Tattva Sandarbha, which is the epistemological section, or the, you could say, the Praman Khanda. What do we accept as evidence? And he established, the first thing he does before establishing the Gauriya Vaishnava philosophy is what do we accept as evidence? And he establishes Bhagavatam as the supreme evidence. So others may not do so. There's one answer that could be answered in a much more elaborate manner.
Because Advaita, Dvaita, and Sadvaita are so confusing for a common man that...
Well, actually, the common men are not, traditionally, common men are not meant for philosophy.
But still, common man has to touch the...
Common men should be guided by uncommon men. That's going on. Even always, there are leaders and there are followers. So the leaders then in the modern age are not philosophical at all, they're just misleaders.
But in this age, most of them are common men.
Well, they're common men, and you know, in the they are common from the philosophical or spiritual point of view. But it's the what's going on in the absence of a tree. A castor plant is called a tree. So people who are not fit in any way to be leaders, they become leaders by the principle of might is right, or cheating is right, or anyway, somehow or other, I'm right. By vag chaturi, or they talk a bunch of nonsense, and nonsensical people think it sounds good, and this is going on.
So
what?
A man
remains a common man unless he gets a proper leader who can lead him to the path of pure Krishna consciousness. That's true. That's true. So therefore we're distributing Prabhupada's books and inviting people to take up the path of Krishna consciousness. So people, some may take it and some may not take it. We can't force that. Mokasha moga, what is that? Mokasha moga karma, no? Moga jnana vicheta saha. Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shritaha. Srila Prabhupada translates this verse as, people who are demoniac are attracted to atheistic views. They're attracted. They think it sounds very good. In that condition, their hopes for liberation, their cultivation of knowledge, and their activities are all thwarted. I can't remember exactly the words, but he says that people are attracted to atheistic and demoniac theories. To them, it sounds good. It sounds wonderful. All men are created equal. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It's not true at all. It's not even common sense, but people think it sounds, sounds great. Let's fight for it. Anyone who doesn't believe in it, we'll bomb them to pieces. Democracy. We should have democracy. You don't believe in democracy, we'll bomb you into bits. And then we'll force you to believe in democracy. We won't ask you to take a vote whether you want democracy. We'll just bomb you to pieces. And then we'll give you a democratic government. Because we believe all men should have equal rights. And if you don't believe that, well, we believe we have the right to bomb you into believing that. This is going on in West Asia today. Of course, that's just an excuse because they want oil. But it's all being done in the name of humanitarianism. A nice big bomb on your head. It's a humanitarian bomb. Blast you to pieces in a humanitarian, in an American way. See. Whoops, I'm not supposed to talk about politics. Sorry, okay. All right, so any more unphilosophical questions from the land of the philosophers?
Only one question.
If you're only going to ask one question, why don't you make it the best question you could make it? Where are they kept? Where are the Vedas kept? Well, the Vedas are eternally existing. They are kept in the heart of Narayana. Veda Narayana Sakshat. And from time to time, they are manifest in human society. The Lord imparts that knowledge to Brahma, and that is imparted in Parampara. And some parts of the Vedas, the Rishis, they capture it, or by their spiritual, receiver, they capture the mantras. Rishi means they can see the mantra, and they disseminate that. So it's eternally existent, and you see, we have the idea that there should be some book and it should be written down, but actually, Vedam is preserved in the form of sound. It's an eternal sound vibration, which is non-different from the truth. And because we're dull-headed, we think that everything should be in the form of a book. But traditional parampara is by transmission of sound, not by writing books that you keep in a library. It's kept in people by the method of teaching the sounds that people will remember with the exact intonation, everything. There's a method of teaching so that the Vedas cannot change even one little bit. There's a danger in books, actually, that people may interpolate them, annotate them, and in various ways change them. So therefore, sound. That's the traditional system. That is completely unchanged. Not to be changed. Is not changed. The Vedas are eternally existing. Books are for fools. We're all fools in Kali Yoga. The more intelligent fools we think are intelligent, but actually people are fools. Books are for people who don't have the ability to remember. Actual intelligence means you hear, you remember. That's all. We don't have that intelligence nowadays. Therefore, we need books. Yes, one more question. One last question. Hare Krishna. What did he say?
Satya
Yoga.
Dwapara Yoga.
Dwapara Yoga.
Kali Yoga.
Kali Yoga. Traitor Yoga.
People are very good.
In Satya Yoga, people are very good.
Very good.
All right.
The father says, I said, Rupari says, then come to the Dwapara Yoga. Krishna taken out the run to change, teach the people how to lead.
Yeah.
Then, in spite of that, we'll come to Kali Yuga. Everywhere, things are going out of it. Now I'm demanded that Kali Yuga is going to come to an end. And the entire thing is going to be destroyed. So, when it is destroyed, God is there to have us. That is that.
Well, actually, the questions or the dissertation is going a bit off course. Because you're saying the whole world will be destroyed at the end of Kali Yuga, but that's not actually correct according to Shastra. No, according to Shastra, the world will not be destroyed at the end of Kali Yuga. So there's not much point in going on with your question because it's based on a wrong premise. What is the way to save the world for the ordinary man? Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasjeva, 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 Gati Aranyata. That's it in brief. Everyone's not following. Yeah, well, everyone's not following, but that's the way. If you don't follow, that's your own choice. But this is the way. If you say that people aren't following, so give us another way, well, it doesn't work. There is the method, and it's up to us to follow it or not. If people don't follow it, it's their own misfortune. Sorry? It's well, it's their fate, but man is the master of his own destiny. You can choose to chant Hare Krishna or choose not to chant Hare Krishna. It's up to you. You're saying, how will Bhagavan help us? He's helping us like this. You don't take his help, then you don't get it. That's all.
So
it's up to you. We have to chant Hare Krishna. Yes, that's correct. Otherwise, no hope. All right, Hare Krishna.